So in the past couple of weeks, by the way, I welcome you all. I see some new faces. We're very glad that you're here with us in our worship. I'm one of the pastors here. In the past couple of weeks, Pastor Sam has been on series. First week, he talked about wrestling with the Lord. Do you remember? Okay. Pastor Sam, they don't remember. I'm just kidding. Wrestling with the Lord, he began with the message. And the last week, he talked about winning with the Lord. So today, I'm going to talk about piggybacking what he's doing, partnering with the Lord. So there are two passages, our key passages. And let me just start reading scriptures. Philippians 1, 3-6 says this. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it unto the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So Apostle Paul, he talks about writing a church at Philippi. We have this partnership in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second passage comes from John 15, verse 11. These are the words of Jesus and Jesus speaking. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. In this John's passage, there's no particular word partnership. The basic idea is that Jesus having relationship with his Father, knowing his Father's business, and he's doing the Father's business, and he's calling his disciple, you have this partnership with me, not as a servant, but as my friend. I'm inviting you to this Father's business. Come along with me. And that's what Jesus is saying. So I want to talk about partnering with the Lord. By the way, I'm going to read a lot of scripture, maybe for some of you, more than you ever read. So just be prepared. You know, I'm pastor. I'm supposed to do that. So don't be surprised. So let me just lay some foundation for what I'm talking about today. You might remember a couple of years ago, if you've been here, some of you have not been here, this great message I talked about, you might remember. Some of the most important doctrines, some of the most important Christian beliefs seem to be paradoxical. Meaning paradoxical in the sense that it seems to be apparently contradictory, but in reality, it's not contradictory. It's called paradoxical. For example, would be God is only one. There's only one God, period. But God exists in three different persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three different persons, but there's only one God. It's called Trinity. Do I understand that? I don't understand. But that's what I believe. That's what we believe as a church. There's one God who exists in three different persons. Not three gods, okay? One God. That's very paradoxical. And also the nature of Jesus is that God is, Jesus is a fully God, at the same time, fully human. It's not like one day he's fully God and next day he is fully human. It's not like that at all. All the time, in all places, he's fully God and he's also fully human being. How does that happen? I don't know. Don't ask me. That's just who he is. Also, salvation. We understand that salvation, our salvation is not our work. It's nothing. Anything that we do to inherit salvation is entirely God's gift to us. God saved us by his grace, and we now become children of God. It's God's work, entirely a gift from God. On the other hand, the salvation is entirely our responsibility to respond to what Jesus had done on the earth. The person and the work of Christ that Jesus died on the cross, we respond to that. That is entirely our responsibility. So when God is asking you why you are not saved, then you cannot say, oh, you didn't give me the gift. No, it's our responsibility to respond to that good news. That's paradoxical. So entirely God, God's work, and entirely our responsibility. And there are two natures, two attributes of God is completely, in my mind, that is a paradoxical. Those two attributes are sovereignty of God and the vulnerability of God. God is absolutely sovereign, at the same time, he's absolutely vulnerable. God is sovereign that he is in control of all things. There's nothing that surprises him. There's nothing that he is not aware of. There's a zero impossibility. There's nothing is too difficult for God. So God is in control of all things. He's capable of doing all things. Whatever he proposed to do, he's going to do it. There's nobody can bother that. That is the sovereignty of God. So we find our comfort, this God of the universe who's completely sovereign, completely controlling, completely sustaining the universe by himself. That's the sovereignty. So Isaiah 24:27 says this, The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely I have planned, so it will be. And as I have purposed, it will stand. For the Lord Almighty has a purpose, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, who can turn it back? Whatever God has decided to do, he's going to do it no matter what. That is his sovereignty. God is sovereign. But at the same time, God is absolutely vulnerable that he experienced pain and suffering. God's original plan for humanity is not a failure. God's desire and his plan for us is to have a loving relationship with him. But our shortcomings and our failures bring much pain and grievance to God himself. Listen to this. Genesis 6:6. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. I don't quite understand that God regrets. And that's what the Bible says. I wrestle with it. I just don't get it, but he's a vulnerable, that's what I get. And he is grieved when we make wrong choices, when we are intending to do any evil that grieves to his core of his being, even though he made us like that. And in the New Testament, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So is God capable in restoring and redeeming this what is completely screwed up and messed up? Absolutely. God is sovereign. He will do what he set out to do. Was God hurt? Absolutely. He was devastated in his heart. He was vulnerable. So understanding God's sovereignty and the vulnerability sheds some light to truly appreciate our partnership with our living God. And there are two major ways that God is vulnerable and he is a partnership with us human beings. One area that God is vulnerable is the area of intimacy. And the other is an area of God, our life's calling, a mission, purpose, and destiny. So for intimacy, God does not use force, any threat, or any manipulation upon us so that we can love God. If that were to happen, some people would call that divine rape. God would not do that. God will not use some kind of force to make us to love him. That's not who he is. God has given us most precious gift called this choice of free will. And God is sovereign over all our choices. And yet, he is also vulnerable with our choices. So intimacy, the more we understand, the more we engage ourselves with God's heart, when we intimate with the Lord, when we encounter him and his love and his grace and mercy, then the more we truly become who we really are. And I think that, you know, there are people wandering around to find true self. There are so many that are lost, not knowing who they are. They're wandering around to find the true self. If that's who you are, you need to come to the Lord. Knowing the heart of the God, heart of the Father, allows us and set us free to become truly who we are. And he cannot be crippled by opinions of others and their expectations. It is a liberating truth and reality found in our loving relationship, intimacy with this loving God. It happens like this. As we come to the Lord, as we get intimate with the Lord, we find that God likes me. And I like myself. And you don't like me. What's your problem? We're no longer dictated by what other people think. And that's a true security. As we get intimate with the Lord, receive all the grace and love and mercy and his kindness, his goodness, that's what we find. God absolutely loves me, and I love myself. So God is loving God, and that's what we want to find, that intimacy. And God is vulnerable with us, this is the second part, in our life's calling and mission, and our life's purpose and destiny. And you and I are important in the kingdom of God. We have an important place in God's heart. Do you know why God becomes so vulnerable in this area of our life's calling and our purpose? And that's because you and I are the plan. There's no plan B. You are it, and I'm it. There's no one else who can live a life for you, the very life that God intended for you. Nobody can live that life for you. And you are it. You are the plan. And God wants to have this total partnership with us in reaching the destiny, the purpose, the calling, the mission in our life. And that's what God wants to do. And this is just introduction, by the way. So, with this thought, God is absolutely sovereign over all that we do, and God is absolutely vulnerable with us, with this idea. And God wants to have this partnership. When God created you and me, he had a thought, he had a plan, he had a purpose. I made Thomas for this purpose. Let's do this. God is asking me, partner with me. And he's taking that chance, but he's willing to do that because he loves me so much. And in that partnership, I want to explain a little bit about three things. How do we partner with God, fulfilling our life's calling? Number one, partnership in the gospel is more than evangelism. It's about letting Jesus live through us. I want us to understand, I've been wrestling with thought, and I wanted to understand, I'm pretty confident about this. Partnership in the gospel, we got to understand a little bit more broadly. Partner with God is not only preaching the gospel or evangelism. Certainly it includes it. Gospel ministry that is included in this partnership with God. Partnership in the gospel is really about Christ flowing through our life. And God has to live through us. And this is what I find in the evangelical churches where I've been before, were so preoccupied with the narrow understanding of the gospel, which is sharing the good news, evangelize, win the soul. Again, these are crucially important. I'm not diminishing any importance of this. And as I read, study more about the Bible, I'm shocked. God's heart is for our life. It certainly includes the gospel ministry, but gospel, sharing the gospel, is not the end. And we forget this embodying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only preaching the gospel, being embodiment of the gospel. What I mean by embodying the gospel? It means our life becoming the very message of the gospel. And that's possible when we let Christ live through us every domain of our life. Sharing the gospel message, once again, is important. But partnership with God is broader than just sharing the gospel with somebody. It is letting Christ live through us so that other people hear the gospel, so that our life benefit others, so that our life in general, we understand who God is. So this is what the Bible says. Mark 1, verse 1. Beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Gospel is about Christ. It's first and foremost, it's about him. And him, Christ, living in our life. Paul says in this way of Philippians 1:21. For to me, to die is Christ, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What in the world to die is gain? He understands the life in this earth is living through Christ. When I live through Christ, even when I die, I gain Christ. When I fulfill my life's mission and calling, I am with the Lord, and that's fulfilling. He says in other places, Galatians 2:20, he says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Here he says again, Christ lives in me. And that's the ultimate goal of Paul's life. Having the partnership in the gospel, having partnership with the Lord, is about letting God live through my life so that I no longer live, but Christ lives through me. And Jesus, this is the words of Jesus. Jesus came to give us life. John is one of the kind of mission statement of Jesus. This is what Jesus says. Again, words of Jesus. John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come so that they may go to church. That's not what it says. I came here so that they can preach the gospel. That's not what it says. I came here so they may have life and have it to the full. I think some of us, this is my outcry for some of you who I understand that we're so caught up in doing church things. In the name of religion, in the name of the gospel, we're not living this original life that God has intended for us. We're living a life of religion. That's not what God intended. God intended for us to have a life that Christ is living through us. So there is that depth of what God planned for your life and my life. When God lived through us, that's how God received all the glory. That's why in Renewal Retreat, we learned that God created for us its primary purpose, intimacy and authority. If you don't remember these two things, probably you need to rejoin the Renewal Retreat next time. But God made us in the creation. God made us for two purposes. One is intimacy, which I just talked about, and the other is authority. What is this authority for? It is to fulfill God's original purpose and a calling and destiny and mission. In our partnership with the Lord, He's going to help us reaching our destiny, but He will not do for us what we can do on our own through the Holy Spirit, which is another name for Holy Spirit, helper. What I'm saying is this. You and I have this calling to live a life for God, and He's not going to do that for you and me, but He's going to help us to fulfill that our life's calling. And so our text really tells us we have this partnership in the gospel. Jesus extends what is a partnership in the Father's business. And the thief came and to steal and destroy and kill, but Jesus came to give us life. So what are we doing in this partnership with God? This is important. We reclaim the original life the enemy has stolen from the first Adam, which is Adam in the garden. And we live the life of Jesus, the second Adam, Jesus modeled for us. So reclaiming this original life that Adam had lost, first Adam, and living the life that Jesus lived, the second Adam, Christ lived for us, that modeled for us, we're going to do that. That's our partnership with the Lord. Let me unpack a little bit. In the Garden of Eden, what did the enemy steal from Adam? What the enemy has stolen from Adam in the garden is uttermost important things in our soul and our spirit. What are those things? And those things are what our soul deeply craves. Meaning and purpose, life destiny and dream, intimacy, relationships, acceptance, true identity of who we really are. That's what's lost in the garden. And that's what we are really craving in our depths of our soul, in our being. There's an outcry in our soul. We want that kind of relationship. We want that kind of intimacy. We want my life mean to be something. But after the fall, Adam failed to live a life with full of meaning and purpose, joy and dignity, fun and excitement, and integrity and authority. But Jesus, the second Adam, restored all these things in the right place and showed us the model of how our life could be and should be in our partnership with the Lord. So living life of Jesus is not a selfish life. It's about letting Christ live through us. And how do we do that? Second point. So don't get me wrong. Evangelizing, sharing the gospel is very, very important. But that's a little bit narrow, what I'm saying. There's a broader understanding, reclaiming this original life. And how do we do that? We got to partner with God as a friend, not as a slave or servant. Once again, John 15:15. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. This is huge a promotion. Jesus invites us to be a co-laborer and partners with God as a friend, not as slaves. In essence, if you think about it, servants are task-oriented, and that is not true partnership. But friends are relationship-oriented, which means by knowing the heart of the Father, what God is up to, so that we dream to contribute what the Father is doing. And this is where I fell. For a long time, I've been partnering with the Lord more as a servant. But the more I realize, God is asking now, you're my friend. Work with me. partner with me. For a servant, he is more concerned about disobedience. When I look at my life, whole thing, what drove me was this kind of idea that I don't want to disobey. That is a servant mentality, servant thinking. But now as a friend, I am more concerned about my disappointment to the person who deeply loves me, as opposed to disobedience, because I care about the relationship. Do you get this? This is huge. The mindset. We're approaching God when we do engage ourselves in ministry. We're not working for favor of the Lord. Now we're working with the favor of the Lord. That's a huge difference. And now God is asking us, partner with me. I see you as my friend. As we develop our intimacy with the Lord, we may begin as a slave and servant. As time goes by, and as our mindsets are being renewed, and our hearts are engaged with the very heart of the Father, then it's a relationship. More than disobedience, it's about disappointment. We're working with the favor, not for the favor of the Lord. So, deep in your heart, just say to the Lord, even now, we got to claim this, okay? I'm a friend of God. This is important. There's so many times you are like me that we see ourselves as a slaves or servants. But we got to promote it. God is asking now, you're my friends. Bro, you're my friend. And as we do that, as we partner with as a friend, this is what happened. We dream with the Lord. This is the third point. So first point is, partnership in the gospel is not just evangelizing, but it's the life, okay? Letting Christ live in us. Second, we're partnering with as a friend, not as a servant. Third, dreaming with the Lord. You might be asking, how do we let God live through us? And how does that look like to live as friend of God? It can be sound a little bit depressing, but hear me, okay? There is only one way for us to live, let Christ live through us. That is, only way is absolute surrender to the will of God. In fact, complete surrender to the will of God is the only way for any believer in Christ to live by. Let me explain a little bit here. As we get intimate with the Lord, as we build that confident relationship, you know, Tay just talked about, let's approach this throne of grace with the confidence, right? And when we approach that intimate relationship with that confidence, something amazing, something strange, something beautiful happens when that person enters into the intimacy with God as a friend. What happens is, in that intimacy, God begins to impart his intentions, his desires, and his thoughts, and his purpose to you. Then what happens is we begin to develop the mind of Christ. That's what Paul says in the Romans, having the mind of Christ. As we're being renewed in Christ, as we're developing this intimacy with the Lord, not as a servant, as a friend, we're developing this mind of Christ. We're thinking like Christ, the way Jesus thinks. And when that happens, God becomes more interested in our human desire. Why? Because ultimately God wants our mind, our will, and our dream that which pleases God can be done as we live in this earth. I think you got that one. I think you I lost you. This is a very important thought. As we develop that relationship, our minds are renewed so that our will, our desire, our dreams that please God can be done. That's true partnership. And mishap, misunderstanding comes because sometimes we don't know where our desires are coming from and which are from God or which are from our flesh. Our desires are corrupted without Christ, so that our desires can be springs from whatever we are communed with. If we are spending more time with the greed, our desires will be corrupted by this greed. If our minds are set for just a materialism, our desires will follow this, the materialistic thinking. Our minds are set for jealousy or anger. Our desires will follow that. But as we intimate with the Lord, as we know the heart of the Father, we begin to think the way God thinks. And He releases His desires, and our desires are tuning into the God's desire and God's heart, and that's where partnership, true partnership happens. And God is letting our will, letting our desire, letting our dreams to come true for the glory of God. Are you with me? I know this is a little bit hard concept. And I was just amazed by this concept. But it's not more than a concept. This is the reality. I'm looking at my life now. I'm partnering with the Lord. So that this intimacy with the friendship with the Lord is so critical. The more we have intimate friendship with God, discernment of our desire becomes a little bit more easier. The strength and lack of godly desire correspond to the level and the quality of our intimacy with the Lord. So I said, you know, as we are intimate with the Lord, God imparts His desire. The scripture comes from Philippians 2:13. God is naturally giver, and He gives and imparts godly desire. This is what it says. This is my life's calling. Life verse. As far as my calling is concerned. It says this, a New Living Translation. For God is working in you, giving you the desire, will, and the power to do what pleases Him. My desire to serve the Lord as I came to Christ, as I get to know the heart of Christ, this desire is imparted from the Lord Himself. In 1 Timothy 3:1, here's a trustworthy saying. It's so trustworthy. It says this, whoever aspires to be overseer, which is a bishop or elder in our, it's a pastoral role, that he desires a noble task. This is a personal story. When I first came to Christ, you know, you all are, right? We wanna love the Lord. We wanna serve the Lord, and that has been my dream, my desire. And then I shared this desire with one of my elder, and then he said something that really devastated me. This is what he said: God never takes a volunteer pastor. And I'm pouring my heart to this elder. You know, I sense God is calling me to full-time ministry, and then he says, God never takes a volunteer, a minister. And that just devastated me. Yes, there is a danger in self-proclaimed a pastor without confirmation of the body of Christ, right? We understand. But however, how God normally works is that God stirs a godly desire in us, and we begin to dream, and we begin to tune our desires according to God's will by the help of the Holy Spirit. So Joel 2:28 says this, afterwards, I pour out my spirit, as we have a relationship with the Lord, He's going to pour out His spirit, all people, not just pastors, all people, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. It doesn't matter young and old. It doesn't matter male or female, slave or free. Particularly, it says here, the old man will dream dreams. It's for everyone. As we, in our intimacy, God is going to release His desires. and prophesying and dreaming and visioning all share one common thing, that is a divine revelation which comes in our partnership with the Lord. I've been kind of sharing a little bit about this dreaming. This is the one important part. And, some of you, no matter how loud I say, you got to dream. Dreaming sounds good, and you heard that I have to dream a lot, but you are not going to dream. I know that. How do I know that? I was just like you. I used to believe I'm not a dreamer, I'm not a visionary, I'm not a creative, and that's crap. I'm sorry, excuse me. Those are wrong beliefs, I'm realizing. We got to break that unbelief. If you are stumbled, I'm sorry. Basically, you and I, we are made to dream. We are made to envision. This life is so precious. God has a purpose for us. I understand because I was there with you. If you are thinking that dream sounds good, I know I heard many, many times, but you are not going to dream because it's the wrong belief. God says this, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you desires of your heart. And that's the only way God's going to work with us, partner with us, giving the desires. Since I became follower of Christ, it has been my ultimate dream. God, you are so good. I want to serve you. And dream of serving the Lord grew and grew, and it became grew into serving in missions, and grew into pastoring, into leadership, and into building this Catalyst Equipping School. You haven't heard that from me for a long time. I'm dreaming this. Dreaming with the Lord is not always same thing as like a full-time ministry, I understand. And it's not always going to full-time ministry. It is our partnership with the Lord in whatever capacity of dream we have dream and desire for. So dream to be used by God can begin by loving the people around you, your coworkers, your neighbors, your other parents and your children's friends. It could mean that, building healthy relationship so that when the opportune time comes, you engage in spiritual talk and share the love of Christ. Dreaming may begin with a simple yet faithful act of service, no matter how small it might be. And for moms, full-time moms, I want to encourage you. Those who are doing well, being a mom with joy and sense of calling, be encouraged. Today I read just the headline, why moms should get paid $260,000 a year. That's how much worth of your job. So full-time mom, be encouraged. If you have the sense of understanding of calling. And for me to come to where I am, I had to overcome some big obstacles. I'm going to finish with my story. There are several, as I think about my past relation with the Lord, there are a few obstacles I know that I kind of overcame. For me, insecurity stemmed from this family background. Practically, my mom and dad, they've been separated for over 40 years. While growing up, not being able to see the dad, and all these things affected me. On top of that, my parents, both, they are still on the paper, they are married, but they are separated. And in that journey, they were cheating on each other. And, I saw my mom bringing some men to house, and all those things happened. And practically, they're committing adultery. And then I saw, several times my mom just lying on the street, drunken by alcohol. And I, as a young boy, picking my mom up and taking to my house. And all these things, and then my mom always your brother is always, you know, getting these awards, and he's smart, he's athletic, but who are you? How did you come up here? Just in this inferiority complex, all these things. And some have no idea how insecure and how shy I was when I was growing up. In the second grade, I share in our, probably in a renewal retreat, second grade, beautiful day. It was so wonderful. But I remember sitting on my desk. You know, in the Korea, you sit with your buddy in that little chair together. And then, you know, I had to go somewhere, but I couldn't raise my hand. It was really bad. But while in the class, I just couldn't raise my hand. I was shy. And I pooped on my pants. And I'm forever grateful, Youngnam, that's his name. He didn't embarrass me. It's like a Toy Story 3, that alien. Forever grateful. I'm grateful for that guy. I mean, he saved me. I've been saving from that embarrassment. With insecurities and issues and other things in my life, I would never dream of becoming a pastor. Standing like this, it freaked me out. Unless I partner with the Lord. Gospel literally changed our lives. Once we understand in our intimacy, knowing that I am a beloved son, I am beloved, a friend of God. You begin to understand his plan and his calling, your mission, your life's original purpose and destiny. That's when you partner with the Lord. Not living a life of religion. Knowing the very heart of the Father who has a good design, good purpose. Then you develop further being the recipient of God's love. And then you begin to dream. Let's pray together.